Hi everyone, this is Dana Takagi, and I am co-hosting with Reverend Leon Shutt the 2024 Opening Dharma Access podcast. And today I'd like to do a short practice offering about grief. And I want to talk about my own practices around grief, in part because I've been feeling a lot of it lately. And I think Buddhism has a lot to say about grief. And also, I think this is something that many of us can use some help and guidance on. You know, the world is, if you open up the New York Times or Washington Post or Guardian, whatever you read, whatever you listen to, you know that there's war. There's a lot of suffering that we're seeing. The depth of inequality is very profound. And thanks to social media, we see a lot of this, some of it filtered, some of it unfiltered. You know, it's quite natural for us to have a reaction to it, an emotional reaction to it, a physical reaction to it. Just to give you a quick example, I recently learned that the grandson of one of my colleagues from when I was teaching at the University of California, Santa Cruz, was offered the chance to go to Gaza and work with World Central Kitchens, and that person was unable to go, and the person who took that person's place was killed in the car bombing that occurred earlier this week. So, you know, for me, I immediately felt the closeness. For my friends, the possibility that their grandchild could have been killed. And then also for the person who didn't go to Gaza, the kind of guilt that they must feel about, you know, he knew the person who replaced him who was killed. And then also, of course, for the person who was killed, her parents and family members, her colleagues. And, you know, it became like this maelstrom of complicated feelings about what to feel about this. And to my friends, I wrote them a note and I said, wow, I'm really sorry to hear this. And actually, if I'm honest about it, I'm relieved for you that your grandchild is still alive. And yet also, sure, there's a level of deep suffering here for everyone, for everyone. So, you know, that incident got me thinking about the way in which I manage my own grief. And so today I'm just going to talk a little bit about how I do this. I don't think there's one right way to address grief that we feel because, you know, everyone experiences this in a somewhat different way. Sure, there's tears, there's maybe depression, there's anger. But the way we in our individual bodies and minds express and manifest levels of grief, I think, occurs quite differently. So I'd like to just talk a little bit about what I do and how I manage it. I mean, I suppose the first thing is one has to recognize it. So I might, for example, be really crabby, like Peanuts Lucy crabby, about small things. And then I stop and I catch myself and say, why am I so crappy? Why am I so short-tempered? And often it is because there's a kind of sadness or grief about something that's going on in the world or in my life. So the recognition of it is one thing that particularly I think for people that have some kind of Buddhist practice, whether it's meditation or chanting or you're a member of a sangha, this is one of the things that we learn to do is to recognize our own emotional landscape and kind of the interiority of the body and how we're manifesting the emotions in our daily life. So I can't really say for everyone how that works, but I just know that for me, I'm so far from being kind of an awakened being. It takes me a while, like sometimes days, sometimes weeks, sometimes months, for me to kind of work with my own body around this. But I think once we recognize that, you know, grief is a feeling that is passing through us, I think then there are these questions about how we work with it. And, you know, you can look online with how at how other teachers and priests work with this. But for me, I think after you recognize, or after I recognize that I'm having some grief, I do one or multiple of three different options. And these, in no particular order, they are rituals. Secondly, meditation. And thirdly, breath work. And maybe there are other things that are useful. In my case, sometimes I will try to do some kind of like physical exertion, lifting weights, taking a walk, doing something to kind of get the physical tightness out of my body. So I know when I was very active with a local sangha, sometimes I would just go down and bow. Like I'd get in the zendo and I would lay out my zagu or not, and I would just do prostrations. And there was something about, you know, kind of giving up my life to practice and giving my life to Buddhist philosophy that was really helpful for me to kind of work the ritual. Sometimes it was bowing. It could also be offering incense. It could also be chanting. And I'll say a little bit about that really quickly, which is very specific, I think, to Soto Zen practice. You know, when I did monastic practice many years ago, a training period, we would chant the Daihishin Dharani, which is a memorial chant, every day right before dinner. And it becomes sort of, you know, automatic. You just head to the zendo when the densho bell goes off and you line up, then a priest comes in. You do prostrations, you chant the Daihishin Dharani, and then you do some more bows, and then you go to dinner. And it was just part of the daily set of rituals that occur during a practice period. And I think in many like non-residential retreat centers that are Soto, maybe also you chant the Daihishin Dharani, I don't know, on some regular schedule. And I think the, you know, the chant itself is in Japanese. So it's not like you're chanting in English and processing the words. But my root teacher, Catherine Thanis, when someone said, well, what exactly are we chanting? And she said something like, you know, just do the chant and let it work in you without knowing the words, because the words give you a lot to think about. So that was very helpful for me to just kind of not exactly go with the flow, but to let the chant do the work inside of you. And I came to learn as I've gotten older that that has been a very helpful instruction for me. So I will sometimes just chant the Daihishin Dharani, particularly if someone has died in my life or proximate to my friendship circle in life. And, you know, it doesn't necessarily always, it doesn't make the grief go away. It's just my way of managing it for that moment. So rituals, you know, also could be offering incense. It could be bowing. It could be doing other chants. Sometimes, again, this is specific to Soto Zen. We chant the Enmei Juku Kanagyo for well-being. I mean, in some ways, you know, we should be doing these chants every day because every day we're working at the well-being for ourselves and for others, for all beings. So rituals is one thing. Meditation is another, depending on if you have a regular meditation practice, you know, just sitting still with no expectation about what comes or what you're trying to do, just kind of gathering the mind by sitting still can be helpful. And again, I want to emphasize that this is what I do. This is not what you should do. I think we all need to individually find what works best for us to let the rhythm of the grief take its course with us. And then finally, although this is maybe not specifically a Buddhist or even Zen practice, I think following the breath is useful. Personally, I do, you know, various kinds of breath relaxation exercises. I've tried everything from, you know, box breathing to 478 breathing to Wim Hof breath work. But I know for me personally, I hold a lot of tension in my upper chest. I'm pretty good at holding my breath. It's something, it's like a skill that I've honed over my decades of life here. And it takes really conscious relaxation and breath work for me to let go of like breathing from my upper chest versus breathing from my hara or my midsection. So that also can be helpful for me. And then finally, I just want to end by saying that, you know, the world is really tough right now. And it's also really beautiful, but it's also very tough if you're following the news. And if you're someone who, like me, I'm in my late 60s, my friends are getting sick. Some of them are dying from cancer and accidents and, you know, the various things that happen to us in our older years or declining years. And so there's a lot of opportunities to practice here. And I have found over the years, like when I lost my parents and when I've lost good friends, that these things just, they take time. And we need to be patient, or I have needed to be patient with my own process with this. So thank you for listening.